This is Bedtime with Rob and Alex for Wednesday, February 6, 2008.
I'm Rob.
I'm Alex. And you're in our bed.
Yeah. Move over, would you? Quit hogging the blankets.
So, this experiment that we're doing for the next 10 days-ish is, I guess for us personally, a little bit of a journey back into the distance of time when we had to store up our conversations about RSS and Delicious for bedtime because during the day we were working at different things and during the evening we were busy blogging. And ironically, now that we are spending all day blogging together, well, not so much blogging together, but doing bloggy-flavored stuff together, we don't get to have those moments to compare notes, actually. And I think we spend too much of our bedtime chat comparing client file notes instead of geek out notes. So, geek me, baby. What did you check out today?
What did I check out today? Oh, this will kill you. We spent the good thing you're lying down. We spent the last 2-3 weeks desperately trying to find a really good invitation management tool.
Oh no.
And I haven't had a chance to. We ended up going with one that was, you know, pretty good, even though it thinks that Vancouver, Canada is Vancouver, Washington.
Socializer.
An
alternative to Evite.
Yeah. And today I came across one called SetDot.
SetDot. I think we saw it when we were checking them out, no?
Okay. I'm not sure.
Anyway,
I'm going to delve into it further, but it looks awfully interesting and the interface is very inviting.
So to speak.
Yeah. But the main cool thing I found online wasn't the tool, it was a story. And it was just a cautionary tale about how easy it is for things to be lifted from you in the digital era. And it's the story of a writer, a freelance writer, who came up with a piece for an American NGO on the black-footed ferret. And then a few years later, a blog that specializes in trashy romances discovers that entire sections of this thing have been lifted and dropped into a romance and put into the mouths of one of the characters to make them sound very authoritative and win the heart of the woman that he happens to be cavorting through the hills of South Dakota or wherever they happen to be. So, you know, he pulled at her heaving bodice and explained the black-footed ferret it subsists on a diet of. It's exactly that kind of weird juxtaposition, which is what, I guess, made it jump out and made them Google it. So, lesson from that is digital technology makes it both easier to steal and easier to get caught.
Well, and it's funny because even apart from a blatant example of stealing like that, today I was ego surfing, using Google to actually a technorati to see if anybody had picked up my blog post yesterday about the kind of looking at Facebook as an embodiment of the Terminator or cyborg paranoia thing. And yippee, you know, a couple of places had. And then I went and it was just some scraper that had lifted, you know, the story and dumped it. And I mean, that's super annoying as well. But I've also had people just do a, you know, kind of friendly shout out that actually ended up being my piece republished. And, you know, there's a weird thing that's happening on the net, which is our kind of open sourcey, creative commons-y, you know, share-alike vibe, which is really wonderful, is being applied a little haphazardly. And so I think we're right, I mean Lawrence Lessig, are right to rethink what intellectual property means in kind of economic and legal terms, but there's a whole other level, right, around authorship, which is more about pride of creation. And and you know, we Creative Commons our work, but I still feel a sense of wanting to see that in a context. And I don't feel like there's been much dialogue around that. I don't feel like we have a lot of context in web culture for thinking about how you encourage that. And I guess the whole attribution thing in Creative Commons is meant to address that, but it there's more to it than just attribution.
I think there's more to it than just licensing. You know, because this is such a hot issue, all of the dialogue focuses on the legalities of it, and Creative Commons has made a tremendous contribution to that debate. But what we're talking about is what's permissible, and we're not talking about necessarily what's right or
absolutely
how we feel about it. And, you know, I don't know if there needs to be some kind of Creative Commons, you know, sub-license that says, you know, this is...
Dear Randy Cohen.
Yeah, commercial... this is commercial non-attribution, but I won't be very happy about it. Or this is Creative Commons commercial non-attribution, and if you use a few paragraphs, I'll be fine, but if you use more than that, I'll start to get upset, and I might not, you know, speak to you at the next party we're invited to, whatever.
But this is the line between law and etiquette, right? Which is that...
there is a failed television series.
Law and etiquette.
The American system of etiquette.
It's not the job or the place of a legal system to deal with people's feelings, ultimately, right? We're trying to deal with some abstract concept of justice and some sense of outcomes that we're trying to engineer in some way. And all that's fine, and licensing works great for trying to arrive at an arrangement that makes people's incentives to create line up with people's incentives to access content as much as possible, and you're just reconciling interests. But that doesn't mean you're going to feel good when you see your Creative Commons post appear on somebody else's blog and get more traffic there than it does on yours. Even though it's totally kosher, it just doesn't feel good. And so I feel like there's almost like a parallel practice that needs to emerge around the empathic piece. And again, you know, it's stuff that web doesn't do really well, because when you're looking at other people's posts, you're not looking in their eyes. And, you know, the same dynamic that, perversely, the same dynamic that makes people flame folks' blog posts allows them to lift people's blog posts, which is just a sense of disconnection from the person behind it. And, you know, I don't know, what's the solution? Like, should we all be, you know, video phoning each other before we quote or flame, so that we have to like look into the whites of somebody's pixelated eyes? I don't know.
I think RSS3 is supposed to allow you to look into the whites of somebody's eyes. No, I think it's one of these gray areas. One of the things that I found works really well, though, is if you have any doubt at all, just ask. Pretty much every time I've been asked, with one or two cases where it was kind of a little dubious, I've said yes without hesitation.
It's true. I have too. I like being asked.
Yeah.
Being asked is nice. Yeah, being asked is nice. Asking is nice.
Asking is nice.
So maybe today's lesson is be nice. Be nice. Well, I think that brings us to the end of our niceness.
Ah, and that much closer to sleep.
Night-night, everybody.
Night-night.